Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's do some NFL overreaction or reality. And I'm going to start with this. Overreaction or reality. Despite being thumped in the playoffs, you believe the Broncos have a bright future. I'll admit the Broncos were way better this year than I thought they would be.
That's reality. And if you hear Sean Payton talk about it, he says they found a guy that can truly lead them. In Bo Nix. They completely believe in him. And the GM said that that's their only goal now is to win their division. Like they completely think they can overcome the Chiefs at this point, year two of Bo Nix adding to what they have as a team. Really stout defense. That's what they relied on a lot this year, but Bo Nix helped carry that thing offensively. And their running game wasn't as effective as I thought it would be.
Sure.
Javonte Williams just hasn't turned out to be what you expected. Jaleel McLaughlin was not that great. Austin Estime was new to the process of it all. And so I'm interested to see, because Sean Payton, once he got Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram together, that combination was elite. It was great. So can he add to their running game? Cortland Sutton probably getting paid a nice amount of money this offseason.
Yeah.
And that's a good combination that I was telling you before the season to keep an eye out for. Sutton did me well this year in fantasy football.
I don't want to say their future's not bright.
Yeah.
But good luck in the AFC.
They're in the wrong conference.
One, you have Patrick Mahomes you're going to have to deal with for most of Bo Nix's. Let's just say Bo Nix does have a 12-year career or 15-year career. Well, I guess the last five he won't have to go against. Patrick Mahomes, because he'll be 40 at that point 10 years from now. And then you have Josh Allen and you have Lamar Jackson. And we just talked earlier about Joe Burrow. If they could just eliminate the first 2 weeks of the season, they would be really good. there's so many good quarterbacks in the AFC. Even in their division, they still have Herbert. I know he stunk in the playoffs, but he did make the playoffs too, along with Denver. He's a little bit older, but not much older, because Bo Nix is 24, right?
Yes, he is 24.
So I'm not saying their future isn't bright and they can't be a playoff contender for Bo Nix's career. I just look at the three major, and I'll say four major quarterbacks, adding in Joe Burrow, who didn't make the playoffs. How are they supposed to overcome those teams on a consistent basis?
That is an excellent question. You might think this question is a little bit unfair. I'll throw it out nonetheless. NFL overreaction or reality, the Vikings were frauds all along.
I think that's too strong.
Okay.
I think that they can win 10 to 12 games next year. I think 14-3. Are they going to repeat 14-3? Probably not. They probably weren't a 14-3 team. So to your point, yes, it's probably too strongly worded frauds, because I think they can make the playoffs next year. A fraud would be, hey, how did they do this? And they're going to go back to a 6-win team next year.
I got you.
I don't think that. I think they can win 10 or 12 games next year. I think they're going to go with a rookie quarter or a guy making his first year as a quarterback in McCarthy coming back from injury. But I think they're a good team, but McCarthy's going to have to be maybe more than I think he is.
I'll respectfully disagree with Mike. Kevin O'Connell, their head coach, tricked everybody into thinking Sam Darnold was a good quarterback.
Right.
And now he's going to get paid by probably some bum team that's not good enough to overcome the fact that he's a bad quarterback. And Mike, I think threw out like a $43 million. I think it was him, $43 million, something. But he's going to end up paying, making way too much based on what he did this year when it turns out he wasn't actually good the entire time.
Okay.
The defense did carry that team, though.
Now, I'm going to stick with the theme of quarterbacks right here. NFL overreaction or reality. Bryce Young will and should be the Panthers' starting quarterback next season. Because this one seems like it's gone yes, no, back to yes.
Yes, what's their other option? And he's going to lose 12 to 14 games next year.
Okay.
And then they can get maybe their quarterback the next year. This was, unfortunately, a major mistake. I didn't know Bryce Young was going to be this bad. And then when it looked like he was turning it around, I watched him play against the Cowboys, and he looked pathetic again. I just don't think there are a few people that have been able to overcome size. He's not going to be one of them. He's just too little to be a successful NFL quarterback.
I agree on the yes part of it. The Carolina has to be better. They have to get better at everything,
yes,
too. They still have to get better in so many different areas. And it'll be unfortunate if they also still have to get better at quarterback, too, in order to get better. But
okay.
He will be starting for them next year.
NFL overreaction or reality. And, you know, Harbaugh actually came out and said, hey, we kind of let him down. So I'm just going to throw this out there. Don't blame Justin Herbert. The Chargers need more offensive weapons. So multiple people texted this in on Monday when we talked about, hey, is Justin Herbert going to get the same kind of heat? I stand by potentially both things could be true. He still threw as many interceptions as he did the entire regular season, if you don't count the one that wasn't really his fault. He still did that.
Yeah. Quentin Johnston is Chris Chambers for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can rely on him, but he's got all this talent that you're like, it's off the charts. And then you're like, but man, I can't rely on him. And then Ladd McConkey's a fantastic option.
He has been really good.
I'm interested to know where their running back world is, because they basically said to the Ravens, let us have your often injured running backs, and we'll see how we can use them and incorporate them into it. Do they feel like that's something to add to it? Their offensive line is stout, dude. They have a big old offensive line for the future. You know, Rashawn Slater, Alt. They have some big time players on that line, so I'm very interested
to
see
a good offensive line,
where
it?
That thing goes. But I don't know if he has all the physical tools for it. I don't know if he has the mind for the quarterback position, and that's something that I have yet to be he has yet to prove anybody wrong on that so far. But they do need better offensive weapons.
My answer was both can be true. He's a disappointment. It doesn't look like he's going to really figure it out to get onto that elite status. He has all the talent in the world. You love the body.
Yeah.
But they do need more talent. I don't know how it'll help. I just don't know how much, because Justin Herbert is really good at effing things up when you're like, hey, what the crap, dude?
Yeah.
And he enters that I think Jordan Love is better. He has that. I call it the, because in my lifetime, I go with Brett Favre. He has that Brett Favre gene in him that he cannot understand risk and reward. And Tony Romo had it too. It's just like, dude, what the crap were you thinking there? Do you understand where we're at on the field? Do you understand where we're at game time? He's like, no, I have no clue how to understand that.
Yeah.
And that's Russell Westbrook in the NBA.
This one hurts me, but I think the question needs to be asked. NFL overreaction or reality? Mike Tomlin's regular season success is overrated if he just keeps losing early in the playoffs. So he's had 18 straight non-losing seasons as Pittsburgh's head coach. I think he's great, but I want to throw the question out there.
I agree with that. I also agree with the concept that maybe it's not all his fault, that his roster isn't quite good enough and he's making it better, because I do think he is a very good coach. The quarterback position was kind of, since Ben Roethlisberger, it's been floundering all over the place. So I think that's a reality that will continue to happen if he doesn't win beyond the first round. And he has a hand. doesn't he have a hand in the talent in the roster? Or is he just like, nope, y'all get me players, I'll coach team. And if that's the case, then they got a lot of other problems there.
Let's look at Mike Tomlin's career, and this is going to be really tough. You had Peyton Manning in Indianapolis and in Denver. You had Tom Brady for the most part in New England. And now let's just assume Kansas City wins. 7 years in a row, they're in the AFC championship game. Everybody's effed in that conference because of Manning, Brady, and Mahomes. Fine. Get rid of them. How are you going to overcome Patrick Mahomes? I'll throw in Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow again. I think Cincinnati's a horse-ass organization for the most part, so I think Burrow is carrying a really bad organization. Baltimore's not a bad organization. I don't think Buffalo's a bad organization, and Kansas City is the elite organization right now. So, fine. Throw Mike Tomlin under the bus. But there's going to be a lot of coaches, not just in Pittsburgh, over the next 5 years, that they're going to be like, what's your deal?
Yeah.
And if you've been doing it as long as Mike Tomlin's doing it, how come you can't beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots? How come you can't beat Peyton Manning when he was still in his prime in Denver or ending his prime in Indianapolis? How come you can't beat Kansas City? How come you can't, in your division, win it more easily with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson in it? Well, F you.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin would say.
Wow, Kevin.
Damn it. Wow. All right. This is going to kind of feed into that. I'm not saying this would happen, but I'm fascinated if it did. NFL overreaction or reality, a playoff win this weekend will erase all of the concerns about C.J. Stroud. Because we talked about
it. Oh, yeah.
He really exploded on the scene as a rookie. He's struggled tremendously this year. We've talked about his poor offensive line. But it feels like if the Texans were to beat the Chiefs and he had a good game, then all of a sudden you're like, never mind.
They were in Houston. They were ready to dump their offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Like, they were ready to move on from Bobby Slowick at one point, and now they're like, oh, he's a genius again. So that included with the offensive line problems. I never had a question about Stroud's ability. But watching them and watching in the panic that has to happen because the offensive line was my deal. So, yes, win the game, and it actually bumps him up a little more for me. The Texans overall, though, I was down on because they weren't doing what they were supposed to. But it seems like they've – well, you know what? Maybe we can talk to Reggie about that at some point. Maybe in New Orleans we'll pick him up and say, hey, man, what do you want to talk about it?
So I'm not saying this is going to happen, Mike, but it does feel like this would wash away a lot of concerns.
100%. This is the most unfair thing about sports. Too bad. Reggie, you know, is one of the people that says, this isn't fair. Well, too bad. That's the way it is. Is if you win in the playoffs, it doesn't matter how crappy whatever the regular season was. Ask Eli Manning and eventually when he gets into the Hall of Fame. Ask Patrick Mahomes. I remember, I believe we were at a diamond shop after the Super Bowl against San Francisco. Patrick Mahomes was effing pathetic. We like using that word now on the show, right? He was pathetic for three quarters of his first ever Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Pathetic. But what did he do in the fourth quarter? He played great in the fourth quarter. And we just eliminate, I know I'm bringing it up, but we eliminate, oh, he was really bad for three quarters. because all that it matters in the playoffs is that you win and advance, and your legacy is based off of that and that only.
Yeah.
There are very few people. Maybe Dan Marino can get around not having playoff success. To me, that might be the only quarterback in the history of football that can get around having very little playoff success.
And even the thing I'll still argue with that, and you're right, is he made it to a Super Bowl in 3 AFC championship games. So even then, I would argue, like, his lack of playoff success did have plenty of weekends when they were still in the mix. But
and even your playoff success doesn't always guarantee that people are going to look at you as a renowned quarterback.
That is true.
Eli Manning had some playoff success. Troy Aikman had Super Bowl success. And people are like,
I think those people are remarkably misguided. We will get to that later in the show. And this is another non-playoff one. NFL overreaction or reality. The Jets aren't going to make the playoffs for another 5 years. So they haven't made it since 2010. I just decided to throw off five for no particular reason. But like,
Jerry's listening right now. I guarantee you he's going to use that
that's
one next
probably
year.
Could be the Jets. But like, they were going to bring in Aaron Rodgers. Holy crap, last year, then he got hurt. But if he wouldn't have got hurt, man, we got the roster. All right, so now he's back.
We got the roster.
We got the head coach. Well, it was the head coach who sucked all along. Well, then you fire the head coach, and you're like, oh, hey, it turns out the head coach might have actually made this thing better than we thought it was.
This is the QB.
And now he's going to come to the Cowboys and maybe become the defensive coordinator, even though he wants to be the head coach. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But I'm just going to say it. 5 years. The Jets haven't been in the playoffs in 14 years. I say another 5 years.
Dude, they have been in quarterback purgatory. And I'm trying to go back and look when the last time was that they weren't. Because Sanchez,
Pennington,
he's still quarterback purgatory.
Yeah.
Favre? Okay, Favre. Brett Favre in 2008 was the last time they weren't in. Because think Sanchez, Smith, Fitzpatrick, McCown, Darnold, Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Unfortunately, in the twilight of his career, not as good as he used to be anymore. They've been a quarterback away almost all that time, too. And that's how that being a fan and being like, why can't we just find that one guy?
Yeah.
Everything else is pretty good. Everything else was actually really good. Their defensive rank was really good. And they just couldn't do it without a quarterback. It's important.
So I say 5 years. I'm just going to, for no particular reason, I'm like, you know what? Five more years.
I mean, I wouldn't want to put I'd need odds on that because that's a tough one. You
but
don't
you
know.
But you could see how I would just be like,
but I'm with you. Well, the Jets are bad.
If you're going to say that, I mean, looking at their history, if you're going to say that Jerry Jones is the piece that you're like, that's the one I can blame. I can look at the history of it. Woody Johnson's still there.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can just point to that and go, as long as he's still there, that's going to be problematic for them.
I know we're out of time, but I guess that is a good point, and this is where Jerry is right. He's not the worst. In fact, he's probably not close to the worst, but he's not close to the best either, and that's the issue.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus more Joe Mazzulla audio gold next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. If you missed it earlier in the show, the Cowboys have officially requested to interview Kellen Moore for the head coaching spot. We already talked about how they're going to interview Robert Saleh, so go ahead and put those up there. And then Ian Rappaported, I believe it was him, that he believes, or there's belief out there, that Deion would take the Cowboys job if offered. Right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Kevin Hagelin is now the one person that has permission to push the button because sometimes he says things that require it. It's AM on the FM, 877-881-1053 to answer today's question of the day, plus something we didn't get to on Tuesday, Joe Mazzulla with more post-game audio gold that just... This time it straight up doesn't make any sense. So we'll get to that here in just a second. But the question of the day needs a little context from Kevin and Corey. I'm going to set it up like this. Back when y'all first started doing the radio thing, you had a conversation with Eric Nadell.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the one thing he told you?
Don't say F.
So we found out that Kevin does not listen to advice. So the question of the day today, based off of yesterday's shenanigans and all the reels that were put out on social media, is What's the best piece of advice you've gotten that's really stuck with you? 877-881-1053. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. And I was thinking about that on the drive in, and you know, you get the pleasure of meeting a lot of cool people in this business and stuff, but one actually happened during a Rangers pregame show. It was an away game, so Jared Sanor was in studio with me, and we were just kind of chatting, and he was kind of picking my brain. I was still new here, maybe a year into the job, and he was like, what do you want to do? And I kind of like laid out my vision of how this career thing is going to go, and he was like, biggest piece of advice I can give you, don't be afraid to be uncomfortable. He's like, try things, do things that you don't think suit you, because you never know how it might go for you and where it might take you. So he's like, if that includes moving to a different market or trying a different role at the station or whatever, he was like, just don't be afraid to be uncomfortable, because sometimes you might actually like where it takes you. And that stuck with me, because like a year into the job, I was maybe 19 years old. And I was like, well, you know, all I know how to do right now is just kind of push buttons. That's about it. So whenever you start getting offered these other things, you start saying yes, because you have that in the back of your head. Like, even though that doesn't sound like what I want to do or whatever, it might pay off in the end. So I said yes to helping out the late, great TNP, Ted Nichols Payne, doing G-Bag remotes at the FC Dallas Stadium. Like, I was pushing the buttons back then right out of COVID, you know, because we didn't have enough engineers on hand because everybody was trying to get back out in the world again and do remote broadcasts and stuff. So I was helping out doing that stuff. And it all culminates into, you know, a Monday through Friday gig. So I think that's the biggest piece of advice that I got in the past few years that stuck with me.
Buy a plunger before you need a plunger. That's one.
Okay.
Always stuck with me. My grandpa.
That does sound like a grandpa phrase.
Because think about it. When you need a plunger, you're like, where is it? And then you're like, crap, I don't have a plunger. I got to go to the store. I just have it available. It's I'll be very honest. Take a load off is a fantastic piece. I'm not lying about this. Because, Kevin, how often, like, I was telling my sister the other day, a lot of times I feel like I'm in the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah.
Everything around me is chaos, but I'm very calm about a lot of it, and I just kind of observe it until I figure out what I'm doing. But everything else is chaos around me. And take a load off, as you see me, I'm very, I don't get too bent out of shape about a lot of things. Sometimes I do. But take a load off is definitely a real good mantra to live by whenever you're upset about something.
And I know this is the exaggerated version of this, but this sticks with me a whole lot. Remember when you're seeking revenge to dig two graves. And so, like, I know that's the extreme version of that, but I think about that a lot. If there's like something that I perceive as an injustice, whether it's to me or just in general, is that the way to go about it is not to always like, I'm going to destroy this person. Like, it can be as simple as I can go have a conversation with this person or whatever. And so that's helped me later in life. I didn't always feel that way, and I had to grow up and get to that point.
Always treat a gun as if it's loaded.
That's a good idea.
Like, dead serious. My dad taught me that very early on in life. Don't point it at anybody. And then I had a friend point a gun at me one day, and I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, why are you freaking out? I was like, he's like, it's not loaded. How many times does that become a problem? So stop. Don't do it. Don't do that.
I know this is self-serving, but it did get texted in from the 940. The literal best advice I was ever given is, hey, turn on 105 through the fan and listen to the KNC masterpiece. Back then, Colby Saff was still with the show, and I haven't turned it off yet. Love
even
it.
Even with me. All right.
Yeah, even with Thanks. Mike.
I didn't really like this advice, but it makes a lot of sense. If you don't like it, play better.
It really does make a lot of sense. Yeah. If you don't like that T.O. took out a Sharpie and autographed a football in the middle of the game, don't let him in the end zone. If you don't like that Barry Bonds cranked a home run off of you, don't throw that son of a gun a strike again.
I'm sorry, I know I already gave one, but I'm seeing people send these in as well. And I really like this one. I think I've heard CM Punk say this before. Don't listen to criticism from people you wouldn't go to for advice.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I was watching the CM Punk last night as I was heading to bed. I watched the start of Raw from Monday on Netflix, and he was punking it up out there with his...
What'd you think?
it was fine. I thought they were going to wrestle or fight, and then McIntyre was like, Roman Reigns is our problem, you morons. So that's accurate. What I got out of.
He's been doing a really good job. So I like that as well, because, and sometimes you, especially with this job, I'm sure there's lots of jobs like this, you ignore the positive things that people say and let the one or two like really negative things eat at you. And you're like, I don't care what that person, like, I care because you want to like listen to the audience, but like, I'm not going to go seek that person out for advice. So I don't have to give extra weight to their criticism.
You want to hear some advice I took, but then didn't take? My dad told me around 17 or 18 years old, try all the drugs you want. Just do it after your baseball career is over.
Yeah.
I haven't tried all the drugs.
You're like, I've enjoyed life.
Yeah.
But you haven't tried all the drugs.
Yeah.
There are drugs you want to try?
He's told us it's
microdosing mushrooms.
Yeah, he wants to microdose,
like under,
in a hospital.
Under medical doctor supervision, which probably isn't going to happen. But yeah, I didn't do drugs while I played. I guess one time with Ricky Henderson. But so I took that advice. And I think probably because he played an era in the 70s where cocaine and some other drugs were maybe prevalent in the sport. And so luckily I never messed with stuff like that.
Luck favors the prepared.
Mm.
Like if you're prepared for an opportunity, you know, that you're more likely to catch the luck that comes along with it. I'm lucky to have this job. I was also prepared to get this job. You know, we worked hard to get to that point, but I do feel lucky every day that I got this job. And somebody's probably out there sitting there going, I could do what he does. I could do what he does. And that's fine.
Maybe.
I also worked really hard to get to that point.
From the, you know what? Sorry if this is taking up too much time, Alec. That came to mind when we first started and took over for Rage. So I guess not when we first started, but we'd been doing this for like 2 years part-time. And there's people like, you guys are nobodies. You'll never make it. And I was reading that and it kind of occurred to me. I was like, you don't know anything about me. Like, you don't know that I've been working two jobs for the better part of 2 years to make this happen. You don't know that I worked 49 consecutive days and took the 50th day off because like, I just can't. Like, you don't know anything about me. And so like, that was super helpful when I was like, I get it. People throw out their comments or whatever. And I do like this. Better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. Like that comes to play with this job a lot. I'm sure it comes to play with
the
a
plunger.
Lot. Yes, the plunger as well. That's a great piece of advice from the text.
I like this one from the 561. You are the company you keep.
That's a good one.
So basically just like surround yourself with the people that you want to take stuff away from, because like you learn that a lot, especially whenever you're around the same people a lot. You pick up on those tendencies and stuff. And like, you know, anytime we have a new hire come through and I'm training people up, I'm like, look, you're going to interact with a lot of people here. You don't have to take everything I say. Take pieces from everybody. Mold it into your own form. Don't try to be someone else, because the second you try to do that, you're going to pick up all the imperfections as well. And then you're just going to have one reason to point it at. You can't be your own individual person and back up your own mistakes.
I like
and
that.
And that's never a good thing. And another good piece of advice is just if you screw up, own it. You know, that's just universal in life. I know that was the first thing that Tim Collins told me whenever he said, you got the job back in 2020. Now it's been almost 5 years on the day. And he was like, if you screw up, just own up to it and move on. And
think
don't
about,
do it again.
I think about that with steroids all the time. Like Andy Pettit, 100% did steroids, got caught, lied about it and said, oh, that's the only time I did it. And then he got caught again and he was like, hey, I'm sorry about that.
You know what?
And people seem to give him a pass for it, whereas the people are like, I didn't do that. They're guilty.
Because he seemed like a nice guy about it all. You know, seemed like he was trying to take care of things for it.
Let's see. The Boston Celtics played the Pelicans over the weekend. And
who
there was,
won?
Is the
Celtics. You got to figure the Celtics. Just my guess.
That's just my safe guess. But there was like some sort of weird 5 second violation called against the Celtics that didn't make any sense to anyone. So a reporter decided to ask Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla about it and didn't necessarily get anywhere.
Joe, what did you see in the 5 second violation?
Yep.
What did you see on it? Like, was you saw it was 5 seconds?
Sure.
Okay. Like,
sure.
You had a timeout. Like, that's why you saved 2 timeouts. Like, should Derek have called a timeout, or what kind of should have happened there?
Yep.
And that's how it ended.
I hate that.
There was nothing after that.
Again, good for that reporter for being prepared. He's like, I'm not going to get a real answer. I got to be prepared to fight back.
And you also have to know who you're talking to there.
But that's true.
Like, I had a very similar thing happen with Jacques Reeves. It was my fault. I accidentally called him Nate, who he was drafted around the same time as. That was on me. So the next seven questions were, yep, answers. And I was like, they were good questions, too.
Yeah.
And then I finally said, when are you going to get an interception? And he was like, I'm trying, man. And that's when I finally, I was like, all right, now let's have a good conversation here.
That's amazing. And that's my time.
There you go. AM on the FM right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Is NFL home field advantage overrated? Let's do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy.
Here we go!
And I want to start with this question. This is based on a Fox Sports article I was reading, and I was like, So they said the five toughest places to play in the NFL, and their answers were the Ravens, Lions, Eagles, Bills, and Chiefs, which led me to this question. Is home field advantage overrated? Because aren't those just the best five teams? Or like,
yeah, I thought Seattle should be there, right?
Yeah, or aren't those just five of what have been the best teams all year long? I feel like we think Baltimore and Buffalo are on pretty even footing. The game is in Buffalo. Baltimore.
It's cold AF, though.
Yeah, it's true.
As you would say.
But Baltimore is actually favored. Sometimes I wonder if home field is overrated just because... Well, yeah, the home team won because they had the better seed and probably the better team to begin with, and that's why they go through the playoffs so frequently.
That makes a little bit of sense. I think, and I don't know how they judge this. Did they go to these games and sit there and go, man, this is a terrible crowd, man.
Ooh, that's a good question.
This environment is
awful. I will
awful.
Ask Eric Williams how he made these determinations.
Like was it the sub 13 degree game that Kansas City had? That was a home field advantage.
I could definitely see
Miami
that.
Miami could not
There's
play in
no
that.
Way. I agree with that. Not that Miami would have won otherwise, but as soon as you heard that, you're like, okay, well, that can't.
All those, though, Mike, all of them are cold environments, and the Lions, even though it's indoors, that is a difficult facility to play in. That's a loud group.
I like what you're saying, Kevin, and I like what you're saying too, Corey, is I feel like you have to go, was it still a good home field advantage or like a loud, tough environment to play in when they weren't that great? Kansas City had a reputation for a long time. Seattle's had a reputation for a long time. When
I feel like Cleveland and Oakland, to a certain extent, used to have that reputation in the before times.
So I agree with what both of you guys are saying is like, well, they're the better team. So if they have home field advantage, like, it's rare that you get a Baltimore favored on the road in this situation. They're a lower seed going on the road. How are they a favorite? Because usually the better team had the better record, usually, especially once you get to this round, they're going to have the better record most likely.
Somebody said in Philly, you'd fear for your life. I could see that in other sports, but in football, I got my helmet. I got my pads on. Bring it on.
Oh, as a player?
Yeah.
Like as a fan.
I don't know. I've always been curious, and Mike, I'm hoping you can help us out with this.
They do say, though, driving up, it's eggs every time. Like, it's always, they're trying to get in your head on the bus.
Okay, so then how much, if ever, did that pregame environment, did it ever psych you out or impact you whatsoever? I'm really asking because I don't want to discount that because I'm sure for some athletes it does.
Yes. Okay. I think you can see mistakes made at times because of the pressure of the moment. And there is, I was just talking to the Bishop Lynch parents. We had like our parents meeting and I said, I don't want to ever like yell at the other team. Like Texas A&M. I love what they do. That is college and it's kind of professional now, like going ball. Like, I don't want to do that to the other kid on the mound, but man, if one of our kids hits a double, especially if it's like fourth, fifth inning, we need to just keep cheering for our team. Like, let's not golf clap it and sit down. And I told him, I said, when you're on the mound, and I'll give a place that's probably not considered a home field advantage in baseball. the Angels. Now, they had just come off of winning a world championship, so it's 2003. They are the 2002 champs. Man, I remember how loud it can get in certain environments. One of those I just for some reason remember is like, dang, like they're not sitting down, are they? Because I've given up a double to somebody, and then I'm facing the next hitter. And you can kind of feel the energy and the crowd trying to will the other team. So you're just like in your head going, stay focused, stay in the moment. So I'm not saying I did or didn't in that time, but yes, it can get to you. So you're in third down. I've never been a quarterback. I've never been a wide receiver, but all of a sudden you can't hear your quarterback and you're trying to work off of different keys and different tells and all kinds of stuff like that. So I do think, yes, as a player, it can negatively affect you. It can positively affect you, because if you can get into a place where you know it's going to be crazy and you get off to like a 7 or 10-0 lead and that place is quiet, I think it works in your favor.
Yeah.
But I mean, also smart fan bases are important. The ones that know the Rangers fan base. You got to know when to cheer.
Right. They don't understand. I even told the Bishop Lynch, I said, like, even Texas Ranger fans do not understand. If you hit a double in the seventh inning in a tie game or a close game, you just stay on your feet and you cheer for the next guy somehow get on base and knock him in. Other environments are like that. And it's like, I'm not ragging Ranger fans. It's just that they don't know any better. They've probably never been to another major league game. In another town. Yeah. So they don't know some of the places where, it is a raucous environment the later you get into the game, especially if a guy hits a double and then you feel like if we can get this run home, we have a good chance of winning or changing the momentum of this game. And so that's something that I wish Ranger fans would understand more.
You also, Kevin, refer to the documentary episode of The Simpsons whenever they Daryl Strawberry's out in the outfield and he starts crying because Lisa and Bart are racking
single
him so
tears.
Hard.
Comes down. It's very emotional. All right, let's talk about Josh Allen. Couple things about Josh Allen. I forgot who posted this. It might have been Dove Kleiman or whoever runs that account. That Josh Allen is the only quarterback in NFL history to be named first or second team All-Pro in the last 15 years without having an All-Pro teammate. So I guess I should have left the NFL history
part
off. Not
a single teammate?
In the last 15 years. Without having a single All-Pro teammate. So whenever people are like, well, no quarterback can do it by themselves. I'm with you on that. But it does feel like Josh Allen is like, all right, I'm gonna give it a shot.
He makes everybody around him better.
Now, I asked Mike this in the break, and I want to get your answer again, Mike, but I want to go to you first, then Corey.
Come to me.
Regardless of how the game plays out, whoever loses Buffalo, Baltimore, that will go down as a bullet point on that losing quarterback's resume forever.
Yes. Yeah, because it's that matchup. It's just like the Buffalo, Kansas City game.
Yes.
Because Josh Allen lost, that is a bullet point on his resume right now. Well, I mean, like we all look at it and go, that could have been a turning point for both of those guys' careers.
13-second game.
Yeah. So I absolutely think that it's going to be used as the example of which one of them was better. Because both of them are in line with each other.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, well, which one was better? And then there's going to be the breakdown of, well, the team. And look, man, both of them have an opportunity head-to-head this time.
Is that the way you feel as well, Mike?
Yeah, like I said, this will be a bullet point, especially if they don't ever overcome and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if the person, whoever wins this game, that doesn't become a resume check mark, because all they've made it is into the AFC Championship game. And if I start asking you about how many times any quarterback, how many times did Mark Brunell make a championship game? I don't know. Well, I just know that he's like, he was a solid quarterback in his time, but how many times did this guy make AFC or NFC championship game? We really don't care. We have to kind of look it up. How many times did they play in a Super Bowl, and how many times did they win a Super Bowl? We know the answer. If you know football, you're going to know the answer of almost every quarterback in your lifetime on how many times they made the Super Bowl and how many times they won. So it's a negative mark on whoever loses, but it doesn't mean it's a positive mark on whoever wins.
When I was thinking about building your all-time like great resume, if for some reason the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes aren't there, you have to win. Like I used to think that about the big three in tennis. Yeah. Like, if you ever made it to a major final and you weren't playing one of those other three,
you might not get that shot again.
You had to win that game. When the Celtics or Lakers didn't play each other in the finals in the 80s, I was like, you have to win that series. Yeah. I realize, obviously, they did not always, but like, you might not get the shot again.
To your point, and I'm drawing a blank, who was the head coach of the 1980 U.S. Hockey Olympic team?
Oh, my God. I want to say Kurt Russell. I know that's not right. I feel really bad. Oh, my gosh. Gavin Spittle's going to be so mad.
When he told the guys after they beat Russia, and they're like...
Herb Brooks.
Thank you so much. He tells the guys as they're getting ready for the gold medal game, if you don't win this one, you'll take it to your effing grave. And I think that would be, if to your point, if Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, whoever wins the game, if Houston were to upset Kansas City... And they're going into that game. If you don't beat the Houston Texans, you're taking this one to your effing grave.
Yes. Absolutely.
You want to be on your deathbed thinking about this failure today?
Or hell
do you
want to
be on your deathbed bragging about how badass you
are? What do you think Derek Holland's going to think about when he's on his deathbed?
Oh, my gosh.
His amazing.
The 2011...
Yeah,
I was going to say, it was the one time...
World Series game that he pitched was awesome.
I hope he's not, but there's a chance he is.
It was the one time that Roger Federer made it to the French Open final and he didn't have to play Nadal. I was like, you better win, dude, because you've played him, I don't know, like five times in a row and he mows you down every time. Your plan didn't matter. You better win. And he did. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Never won a French Open again because obviously the exact same thing. By the way, speaking of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, so they're going to run away with this, although Patrick Mahomes is not that far behind either. Most playoff rushing yards by a quarterback. As it stands right now, the most all-time is Josh Allen at 609. The second most all-time is Lamar Jackson at 602. So like awesome. this, and Patrick Mahomes, by the way, is 524. But, and so he's not far off either.
He's played more games than them.
But it feels like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson may well trade this record back and forth, like, I don't know, four times throughout their career.
If Philadelphia keeps making the playoffs, Jalen Hurts is going to start racking up these types of yards too. And then it just goes to, I know, totally another topic. So do you see where the NFL is going? Not that you have to have a running quarterback, because Patrick Mahomes wasn't considered a running quarterback out of college. How in the world is Quinn Ewers going to be successful in this league?
And that's a great point, because you know who they broke the record of? Steve Young. So we're talking about a generation ago that this was happening. And now you see it. Here's the top five that aren't Steve Young. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen. So all people that are literally still playing right now and all made the playoffs.
Wow. By the way, Derrick Henry, did you drop his? About to hit the 1,000-yard marker. I think there's only like eight.
We might just get to him tomorrow.
My bad.
When I ask if Derrick Henry is on his way to becoming the greatest running back in the history of the postseason. But coming up next, we're going to totally change it up. Let's go back to baseball. Got some early Rangers thoughts and predictions for 2025. Do you think these are possible or way too optimistic? Next on The Fan.